It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's Mark Husson. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour coming to you live July 29th, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. on the East Coast. How are you? I hope you're doing well. I hope this finds you just elated about your life. And if it doesn't, we're going to work on that. You know what I'm saying? Okay. All right. If you're new to the show, please come over to 12radio.com. Check out the chat link on the left-hand side. I'm going to go over there right now and do this with you. And you can come over and just sort of enjoy the chat room. On Facebook, we have a free chat room. It's private. If you haven't, you might have to request to be put into it, and Jay will be there to do it for you. Jay is also my producer and also an incredible advisor at 12listen.com. He's also a man of many hats, actually. He has a lot of radio shows. He just did, he co-hosts the show Metaphysical Conversations with Carolyn right before my show, which is a great show. Fun way to get the morning started, hearing those two sort of talk about life. So come on over. You'll see the banner that Jay put up. And if you click the comments on the right, the top right, and then what I do is it shows me top comments, and then I hit that and I go all comments, and then I can see everybody. Like when I come in, and if my thing will work, I see Lynn. Lynn is in the house. Hi, Lynn. It's always good to have you here. Coffee is brewing. Hip, hip, hooray. It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour Day. Ready to join the fun and play. Ooh, girl, you are poeting out. Thank you, Lynn. It's always good to have you here. Peggy Reeser's in the house. Hi, Peggy. Peggy has very exciting news. I have some very exciting news about Peggy. Peggy is also an advisor at 12listen.com. She's been a trooper, a Leo. This is her birthday month, and she is coming back to radio at Tuesday mornings. She is going to be hosting Oh My Angels, the show that so many people love. She's had such a large following. She's been doing it forever. She's also doing angel scopes over at allmyangels.com, so you can check her out. You can also check out her bio at 12listen.com and see all about Peggy. But she's going to be opening up the 12 radio with Tuesdays. And that means I have other news. Kathleen Hall, who did open up, Kathleen Nicholson now, sorry, Kat, who did open for her show, or Tuesdays, opened up the Tuesday lineup with C.A. Brooks and Kelly McLean, and no, Kelly Whetstone, Katie Weaver. They're now being opened by Peggy, but Kat is following my show on Mondays. So Kat's moving here, not today, but next Monday after me will be the amazing Kat Nicholson, who, if you haven't had a reading from Kat, you get to do that. You get to come into the chat room and she will read for you. It's kind of like an extraordinary event. It really is. We're very excited. Me and Kat have always been back-to-back shows when I was a Tuesday host. And you know, it changed, it evolved. And then she sort of got to lead on Tuesdays when I had to take a break during the COVID and did all other kinds of stuff. You all know, you followed a little bit, but we're back Monday morning. So that's exciting news. Okay. So wanted to share that with you. So welcome Peggy to the room. Renee's in the house. Happy Monday, Renee. Mary Jean. Good morning. The little Pisces are in the house. Catherine is in the house. Catherine, thank you so much for being here. Catherine is also an advisor at 12listen. She makes us very proud. You guys, I'm not kidding. 12listen is like Rockstarville. It literally is like amazing. You get, and like if you call, you're having like, you get 30 seconds, the first 30 seconds of being connecting with somebody. If you're not really feeling it, you can hang up and try somebody different, but there's a good chance. There's a good chance that these people are going to be in sync with you, because guess what? They're in sync with me. And what they had to go through to get here is no small accomplishment. So I do love them for that. We are different than any other site on the internet. I'm serious about our vetting process. It is serious. There are three Virgo testers. Three. and an Aquarian. Get by that. And they do not work for us. We do not pay them to do this. These are people that have been with us for 100 years. We've known them forever from the days of the store. So we say, hey, bring a problem to the testers. We don't know anything about the tester. We don't tell them anything about the tester. Just let us know your feedback. And man, it's an intense process. And the tester is really put on the spot. And every single person that works for me went through this process. So needless to say, I'm invested in them. And I'm also needless to say how many people are not real thrilled with me that didn't make the cut that are floating on the internet. Ooh, sorry, you guys. It's not my fault. I try to stay out of it. Anyway, happy moon. It's a Taurus moon today. It's going to change this afternoon. So you get a chance to watch the change of the moon. You get to watch it go into Taurus. I have so much to talk to you about, and I know that's very rare for me because, you know, I'm usually very quiet and don't have a lot to say, but today is a little different, and it's a Taurus moon, so I'm really feeling it today, okay? And if you're in your Taurus moon energy, if you're feeling that energy, you might be feeling a little hungry, hungrier than normal. You might be feeling... you might be feeling a little more or less like the need to be grounded more than normal. You might be going through all that, right? And again, like astrology with everything, you may not be, but it's not a game. It's not a contest. What it is just a way of being and just a way of paying attention to your life, okay? So those of you that are new to the show, welcome. I try to keep astrology in a certain perspective, easy to grab onto. Today, I want to get a little deep with you, though, because I like to do some reading before the show just to get my mind in the right head frame to talk about how we uncover and how we unpack living our lives during these cycles. And especially in, I want to call them the newer side. It's not really new, but social media changed us. Do you not think so? I mean, to be able to be manipulated, and it is very manipulative. And I'm not talking about some dark undercover, you know, deep state thing. I'm talking about the fact that you go online and people are putting them their best image forward. And it's really easy to go, man, they are really living the dream, you know? And it's like, okay, so I get that. And I think it's very painful for some people over others. Some of you are really prone for this. Some of you are really good at this. Some of you can live your life publicly like that. I happen to be Scorpio rising, Saturn in Scorpio on that rising, the moon in Scorpio on that rising. Y'all don't think I have some things I need to keep from you? I feel that way. I may not. I try to be an open book as possible, much as possible. But if you have Scorpio in you and it's carrying the front of your chart, if you're in the rising sign zone of your Scorpio, you're going, like, it's a little nerve wracking to be public. It took a little bit. I had to face death, literally. Not literally, but literally a death of so many things that were going on in my life to be pushed out in front of you like this. I'll never forget it. It was with Reed Tracy, and I had to say, look, I want to do this book, but you have to give me a way to promote it, because he wasn't going to give me, I mean, he didn't want anything to do with me, really. A lot of you know the story, but we'll get into that later. And so I was like, I'll write a book, but you have to get behind me. And he said, okay, I'll give you a radio show. And that's how that happened. I got a radio show with Hay House for 7 years, and he hated it. But guess who loved it? You know, Louise loved the show. She loved me. She adored John. She realized that I was going to make a really good chauffeur in my life. And so I got to do that. But anyway, point being, when you have your chart sort of tells you a little bit about some of the things that we're developing and some of what you want to develop and some of what you have to develop. So social media changed that up a lot. It's hard. And a lot of you forget that it's hard. A lot of you can turn off the little switch that compares yourself to other people, or turns off the little switch that wants to empathize with what other people are doing or the impact you might be having. Some of you, I have my staff. Some of them live their life on social media. Every step they take, oh, went to the bathroom today, just got out, flushed the toilet, took a shower, just got out, drank my coffee. Like, okay, interesting. And I watch how easy for some. So if you're not in that boat, I understand. But the point is, social media changed us. It did something that gave us this new window into life and a new exposure that a lot of people were like, I kind of want to be in it. And I'm a little scared of it. And other people were like, I'm going to take charge of this. Boy, I mean, the charts came singing with social media. So if you get the overview, if you get the gift of the overview, and I sent it in today's chart, I sent you all a chart, and I hope you'll get on the mailing list. The mailing list is precious to me. I want you to sign up for it, please. You just go to 12house.com, get on the mailing list. It means the world to me. It helps me take the temperature of how we're doing. It also lets me tell you what's going on, but we don't spam you. We don't sell them. I haven't, you know, I'm too dumb for that stuff. I don't know. I mean, I sell what? I'm never going to do that. Never have in over 30 years of being with you and having your names on lists. So please go sign up, 12house.com. But if you look at the chart today, if you know anything about astrology, you know, today is, okay, the Taurus moon. And today, this minute, it's exactly at the same point in the space as Uranus. And Uranus is pretty much being the star player in today's zodiac. It's one of many, but right now it's the star because it's being activated loud. And if you know anything about Uranus, it's the ruler of Aquarius. It's the shaker down. It's the tower card in the tarot. It's the break it down, baby. If you're too rigid, you're going to get broken down. And it will break down your teeth. It will break down your bones. It will break down your resistance. It will break down whatever it needs to break down to get its message through. Because it's a big TV antenna. It's like, it's an antenna. Look at it. Like the old fashioned kind that used to go on top of the roofs. So it's like telegraphing its message pretty loud and clear that we're going to shake it up. And the interesting thing is it does shake things up. And it's also at that same point as one of the fixed stars, Al Ghul. Remember that? I don't need to get into the weeds about it. But it's also in a transformative point in space. And 26, whenever something hits 26 of anything, we're going to feel something related to this planet. So it's really good to know. And today the moon is there. So there's a surprise component in the air. And if you think Tauruses are having a grand old time, you haven't talked to one. They're not having an awful time, but if you don't think Tauruses got a little uprooted, and I mean literally root system uproot, then you haven't talked to a Taurus in a while. Or they're early Tauruses, and that happened already for them. But if you look around, you see some Taurus energy, some Tauruses are going, oh, Lord, help me. And wherever you have Taurus in your chart, same thing's happening. Uproots, changes. I see it in me all the time. Relationally, not my personal relationship. God bless John. Love him forever. And we're stronger than ever. But I see it in the external relationships. My external relationships, they're changing. They're different. You know, people that I've known for 100 years, things like that. It's different. It's all changing. The way I see the world is changing. And that's hitting. I can look at my chart and say, that's just a metaphor for what's going on in your life. It's not a bad thing at all. But it kind of, there's an awakening that Uranus can bring if you let it. Now, the reason I'm bringing up Uranus so strongly is that we also have other planets in the sky that are moving, and they will hit that 26th point. An example is Venus. Venus right now is at 22 of a similar sign. I don't want to get you in the weeds of the language. I'll say the language. Venus is squaring Uranus right now. It's a 90-degree angle away at 26 Leo. It's at 22 right now. In 4 days, it will be at 26, and it will be a square. And wherever that Leo, that Venus is in your chart, that's going to be some activity. What kind of activity? Well, it's Venus. It's not going to be horrible, but you might change some things up. Now, it could be as easy as you change your hairstyle. I have a friend who is losing her hair because, because of an amazing healing thing she's going through. I mean, amazing, miraculous. Venus and Leo. So we're taking care of business wherever it is in your chart. So there are surprises coming because Uranus is also unpredictable. Uranus says, you know, the minute, and I used to play with Uranus. We used to do this sort of like try to fool the planets. So I would say, well, this Uranus transit, it's going to I'm going to lose my house and everything I love. Because in my head, Uranus will not give you what you think it's going to happen. And then I lost my house and everything I love. No, I didn't. Uranus will mess with you if you try to predict Uranus. Because it's about the unexpected. It's about the brilliant insight that you hadn't even considered yet. So the moon's hitting it today, so we might hear some surprising news. We might see some. We might get some surprising insights. And then in 4 days, it Venus touches it, and Venus is a little more real into real life. It's like the moon's very fast, so we'll have like it could be just an insight with Venus. It could be an event. It could be something a Venus ruled thing. So we'll just have to see it. And I don't like to make predictions like that because it's Uranus, right? I just said that. I don't like to tell you too much about what I think is happening, but I could say, look for something to happen. And maybe even that makes it not happen because Uranus is all about surprises. So like, just pay attention. But there's other things going on. Neptune is in the very last degrees of Pisces. You know, our Pisces friends, Mary Jean, kudos to you. You know, our Pisces friends have been swimming in this. It is not easy being a Pisces. It's not easy being every sign. I mean, every one of us walk a path that's sort of like, whew, Lord. But Pisces have a particularly special one because they are so mutable and watery, and they can fill the container of whatever they're with. And they tend to have, it's the last sign of the zodiac. So let's put it in this language, which I don't particularly like, but they carry the karma of all the signs. I don't like that language because, you know, I don't know. It implies that I know what I'm talking about on a spiritual level, and I don't, but I'm trying to give an energy to it. It is a little more complex because it's carrying all the energies of all the signs. And I'll give you an example of that because I was reading Liz Green. And if you don't know Liz Green, and you're into astrology, then this will take you way to the other side of astrology. she's so damn smart. It's like, Liz, you know, it makes you, I don't know. I'm grateful to her because she is so smart, and she took that smart to astrology. And so there's a kind of like a British, even though she was born in the U.S., she's very British. I think she was raised over there. And she has a certain kind of British snootery. No offense, Erica Longden. But she has a sort of, but and a righteousness. It's sort of like a Virgo-iness. And she is a Virgo, actually. But she has it. She does it well, which is sort of like, you know, it's... You don't argue with Virgo because they're right, and they can be smug about being right, and they can be also, they can have that smirky being right thing, right? Okay. So she says, in the book Relating, which is a brilliant book and one of the only books of astrology to ever be recognized by Psychology Today magazine that was given awards. I mean, that's how smart the woman is. Can cross a bridge into science like psychology with astrology and give it some legit credit. Wow. Okay. So she's talking to us about the birth chart being a blueprint for who we are. I've talked to you about that. And its idea is that if we want to develop that birth chart, like we're given our chart, but we have to navigate it. It's sort of like we got a map and we look at this map and we have to decide how we're going to navigate it, where we're going to go. We don't just get, oh, you are this sign, so you have these amazing skills. It doesn't work like that. It works like you have this sign and you have a job to do to uncover the magic of your sign. And we don't do it automatically. It takes a little effort. It takes a lot of effort, actually. And sometimes we get it right before we die. Sometimes we get it right. You know, when we're 112, you might get this great insight. Because I know people now are like, am I still getting insights like this now? So we first have to come into the world, take our breath. We get our chart. We get handed our assigned blueprint. It's where the planets were when you took your breath. And your job, get happy. Start developing some of these things. But there's a problem. You're born into a system. You're born into a system of religion. You're born into a system of non-religion. You're born into an ideology. You're born into a family, a structure with rules, regulations, ideas, the way they want you, how they're going to shape you, right? And you're up against all of that with this blueprint that now I got to do this blueprint, become, evolve into who I am, but I have to overcome you, okay? I have to overcome your drug addiction. I have to overcome your self-absorption. I have to overcome your religious fanaticism and then find who I am in all of that. Well, it takes a little effort. See what I mean? It takes a little effort. And here's what I can promise you. Those of you who do it, you're going to be happy. You will know a way to happiness. Because you will have broken through the computer, the system, and you will have found something in you so vital and so pure and so real and so easy to be that you'll blossom. But what if you don't find it? What if you feel like you didn't break out? Then you're going to be as happy as possible. You really are. There's no reason you can't be happy in that, because there's no measurement here. There's no scale. It's just that we know the more you do it, the more you become aware of who you are, the aware of your circumstance, the happier you can be. So what's the key there? To overcome the obstacles or to be aware of the obstacles? My answer, be aware. That will win every time. The rest is just sort of like to be aware of your limitation, to be aware. Like if you were born handicapped, if you were born in with no arms, or with you developed cerebral palsy, or myriad of obstacles that you can face, or they happen later in life. Your awareness of the limitation is one, but the acceptance to overcome whatever obstacle you think you're facing, the acceptance of it is enormous, because the mind isn't limited by those things. You aren't your body, right? We know that. You're not, you aren't your body. You aren't your hair color. You're not the cuteness of that face, which I know I had to live with my whole life. And you're not the product of a religious ideology. You are something so different. And your chart is here to help you see that. That's the magic of astrology, truly. Not to go to somebody and say, well, next year is going to be amazing. Even though I fall prey to that for myself when people ask me, and I want to give good news. Ooh, next year's your year. You're going to love it. And it's probably true. I don't get into all that deep stuff. Like, you have some obstacles to overcome because of the family you chose. Now let's look at a little bit. Like, I don't do that. That's up to you. It's up to people. I don't want to set some measurement here that says this is how you get happy. I want to tell you how you can be happy and some of the secrets that I learned along the way. Acceptance is one of them, right? Not wishing for something out here to be different so that you can be happy. That's codependence. Not wishing for the right political outcome so you can be happy. That's codependence. You hear me? Freedom. Freedom. Isn't there? I'm still learning that one, but it's not there. You know that's true. Some things you don't have to experience to know they're true, right? I don't have to have children. I don't have to have given birth to children to know that childbirthing is life-changing and extraordinary. I don't have to, like, there is such a thing as empathy. I don't have to be a woman to watch women be oppressed. I don't have to be one to know. I won't know the nuance and the actual profound effect that it has, but I can understand it. So I don't have to be shot down because I'm not a woman advocating for women. I don't have to be shot down because I'm not heterosexual advocating for heterosexuality or whatever, right? Empathy matters. My development matters, and my freedom most of all, the freedom to be able to feel in spite of what the circumstances are around me. In other words, my happiness cannot rely on certain outcomes coming up. It can't be that. There's too much chaos in the world. So when you're born and you take your first breath, we're given a map. We take a picture. And what is the map? Is it the only map you could be given? No, it's the one we're choosing to use as a metaphor. If you choose in your life events that happen, you could say, I'm looking for an omen. I love this thing about life. I'm looking for an omen. And something happens. I'm like, ooh, now, why would that happen? If I had a dream about that, why did that happen? Let me evaluate that. I'm making it up as I go along, but I'm putting together a little bit of something that makes sense to a part of my inner being, and I can use it. And if I want to use it to make myself feel better so I can feel better, then I'm going to do that. I can also use the very same event to make myself scared and to make myself be afraid and feel bad about who I am or what's going on. See, there's choice here. But as long as you know you're making that choice, as long as you're aware of the options and the choices, you get to make them however you want. And they have a better impact on you when you're aware that you're doing that. It's a choice. Life is a choice. But the unconscious, the very same behavior without that awareness of choice is damaging. Like, I used to, you know, in the store, you said people would hurt my feelings all the time. And John would say, they're unconscious. They don't know they're doing that. And I'm like, well, they're unconscious. Hits me. It still hits me. And then I learned how I was interpreting it mattered. So you're born. You take your breath. We're using this map of the planets. We freeze frame where the planets were symbolically, what was on the horizon when you were born. We're freeze framing that moment in time because that belongs to you and it will always be you. Many people like to manipulate that and progress it and do solar returns and all that. That's all fine. I like the simple, this is your map. Here's your life. Because it's your map, research has shown it's a path to happiness and it's a good map. Did you know that? Your birth chart might be the worst transit that ever happened to me in my life as a, like in the current time period. I'm like, oh my God, I got 8 planets in Leo and they're hitting me. But your birth chart, that could be the day you took your first breath. It's your map to happiness. It's also your best luck charm. Research, Magi Astrology, for example, shows there's no bad birth chart. Your birth chart's awesome. It's you. You know how to work it. And you do it pretty darn well, especially if you're up here listening to me. That doesn't mean you're doing well because you're listening to me. You're probably doing horrible because this is what you're listening to. But no, take that back. I'm just teasing. But I am saying, you have to say, if you're able to turn on an internet radio station, you're probably doing okay in your life. Like you're physically good. You're mentally good. So that map then becomes yours forever. And what Liz implies is that now it's up to you to sort of resolve some of the inherent conflicts that were brought to you. And she starts with the conflicts of the sun sign, the sign that you were born in. So if you were born as an Aries, you come in with this thing that you have to wrestle with on the inside in order to bring it to the outside. What does she say about that? She said, it's the need to cultivate the vital life force inside of you, so that you can assert and create change outside of you. So first thing Aries, she's saying, has to do is wrestle with this enormous amount of energy that they come in with. And what a lot of Aries do, Javi's an Aries, he hears me. A lot of Aries will, let me see if I have to yell. Hold on. Okay. Aries respond to yelling. So what a lot of Aries have to do is they first wrestle with this incredible fire in their belly. And as young people, it's like they might have all this energy and they make fights happen or they challenge people or they work to prove something. But it's wrestling that. recognizing the vital life force inside of them. If you know Aries, you know they have a vital life force. It's amazing, the energy. My Aries friends, always on the go. So that they can then later in life use that force to create change that's needed out here in the world. That's an example that Liz talks about. First thing they have to wrestle with, Tauruses, she says. Have to build a feeling of permanent worth, right, inside, so that they stop thinking that the things out here are permanent and worthy. Okay, so she's kind of dissing the whole thing about, you know, Taurus is a buy the best and they need the best and they have to, you know, they like the perfect couch and the, you know, if you know Tauruses, you know what I'm talking about, the collectors, right? They just collect. They want their things because they're looking for permanence. Those that have the most toys win was the Taurus unconscious. So what they're building, she says, what they're fighting for is a sense of permanent worth. Kind of profound. If you take it like, she elaborates on all this stuff. I don't have time to do that with you, but this is what she does. So Gemini have to develop their intellect so that they and their understanding of themselves so that they can bring it out to translate and understand the world around them. So it's a self-understanding. Gemini's like, they lose themselves. If you watch Gemini in action, you'll see, oh, they're like the little kid. What's next? What's this? What's that? In their fun forms. Because then they have the depressing side. And they have to bridge those inside. Develop an intellect that says, oh, this is me being out of my body. This is me being distracted. I have several friends with Gemini moons who think that their life is boring and they don't do anything, that they're inactive and they never stop. And so there is a certain developing an intellect and overview so you can see your ability to connect with yourself. So you make sense to what you're doing. Oh, well, this is depression. This is just me being depressed. So I'm not just jumping on the phone to get out. So you're developing that so that you can see the how to make a connection outside of yourself. First, recognize you and then come out here. Otherwise, what a Gemini is doing is making connection and identifying themselves through the connection rather than having the connection first. Cancers learn to open the flow of feelings to others so they can open the flow of their feelings inside so that they can learn to open that flow to others. So in other words, Cancer is doing all this nurturing so they can go, look, I'm a good person. Look, I can take care of you. Look at, but they're completely dissociated from their own feelings, which is why they get moody. They don't know what's going on. So she's suggesting you first recognize where you're at and then extend that rather than extend first and then use that as a way to feel better about yourself. Feel better first and then extend that out. Leos have to recognize, instead of having to become recognized for your ability to create out here and being great, it's first recognize your own inner creator. It's literally what she says. Recognize the true creator inside so that you can develop this creative aspect of you on the outside. And it is, so in other words, what she's saying is give yourself credit. Because what Leos tend to do, they get very sensitive about external credit. If you know Leos, you know this is true. They're very sensitive to your opinion of them. I think I did this with a neighbor we have where I said something about, I don't know, I said some flip comment about being a perfectionist. It was weird. And I was on my own. I was having trouble with my own self. Like, I'm not a perfectionist. I have Jupiter in Virgo, so I understand the conflict. I want to be one, but I'm not. Like, I wanted a little fence for the boys in the back. So I just hammer one together, and it's uneven, and it's sort of, but it's cute, right? And then I see what they're doing, and it's like this is, they're putting rock formations in, and they're, like, not allowing trucks on their driveway because it'll mark the truck. And I'm feeling a little like... And I made a comment like, I'm so glad that I don't live with a perfectionist because it would, and I was thinking out loud. But anyway, my thinking is that I hurt the Leo feeling because it was a Leo that is the person I was talking to. Because after that, I never saw them again. So anyway, develop it on the inside first. But see, the part of me that goes, yeah, and not my issue. is some of my own self-development. Like, I'm sorry, but you got to deal with your own hurt feelings. I, you know, if I have to watch my words because you're going to get hurt over my words, that's too much for me. I can't deal. Just move on. Dude, go take care of your own stuff because I'm taking care of me. Virgos have to refine themselves in order to fulfill the urge to refine the world around them. That's an interesting one. She does. She was doing this little, like, going through each of the signs like I do. The sign above you has the sign after you has what you lack. She was doing it in this way. So she's talking about refine themselves in order to fulfill the urge to refine the world around them. In other words, what she's saying is you don't go take care of, you don't go be selfless. Mother Teresa was a Virgo. In order to then feel good about who you are, you first start, like, you understand yourself, use true understanding of who you are, and then extend that out into the world. She's talking about not going unconscious on, not confusing the outside world with who we are. I think you're seeing this. I hope you're getting the point of this. And we'll talk about it a little more. Libra is to recognize the opposites of their own insides so that they can relate to everyone that they meet, right? So, and the problem with Libra is they get in trouble with schmoozing, like, everybody. So they're agreeing with whoever's in the room because they don't want to make waves. And she's sort of like, you have to recognize that it's okay to do that, but you first come from, like, there's a part of you that's sort of like dissociating with one part so you can agree with this person, but then bringing the other part back. Keep them both there and recognize that you're doing that. And in the observation and awareness that you're doing it, you're happier. Because then you're making a choice. Yeah, I'm being nice to this person on purpose because I don't want to make waves. That's fine. But doing it because in that moment you really think you believe and agree with them because you think you really do, that's dissociation. I hope I'm making sense. I'll come check the room in just a minute. Scorpios, embrace your own darkness in order to heal the perceived darkness around you. Like, Scorpios are afraid of everything. Every Scorpio I know is like, this political figure is the end of the world. And every Scorpio is doing it about a particular different political figure, right? I mean, everybody has their fear. There's the deep state and the conspiracies and blah, blah, blah. And Scorpio's all out here about what's wrong with the world. But she's saying, deal with your own fear of your own inner darkness, your own darkness. Get in there, light it up a little bit, love it, and then come on out here and then do the world the way you want. But you have to embrace what we call the shadow of ourselves a little bit before we start projecting it onto the world outside of us. That's all we're doing. So Sag's job is to appreciate all the various forms of inspiration around them so they can teach it to everybody else. So what Sag's are notorious for doing is teaching what they need to learn. If you know a Sag and they're very chatty, it's part of what they're doing. They're just throwing noodles at the wall to see which one sticks of keeping inspiration going. So oftentimes you'll see Sag's just taking anything just to keep it to be the source of the inspiration rather than taking a minute and feeling inspired, getting that inspiration, and then showing you how to do that. And this is the reason she's starting this way in a book called Relating, is she's wanting you to see that most everything you're projecting, it's coming from you. Like, everything that you think this other person has that you don't have, it's all in you. Like, we're taught to discard these things that are incompatible with what we entered into, the world we entered into. So if you entered into a world with a very religious family, you're going to discard the freedom-loving part of yourself at first, right? Until you come to terms with it. And that's what we tended to create. Families that sort of forced us to crack open this other egg. Or maybe you were within the opposite, a very liberal, very, very family with no religious values. And you became the person that found your religion deep inside. Like, but it may have taken a while to push everybody off so you could find that part of you. Capricorn, to be able to see power and importance of all systems around you so that you can master them rather than having to go overpower themselves. Like, Capricorns are notorious for throwing themselves in, being the center, being the one who takes charge, being the one who knows it all, being the one who brings home the bread, rather than sitting back observing and seeing that all these things are within me. I'm capable of doing all those things, and also picking from their choices, picking from the ones they actually like, rather than just I'm doing it because I can. Okay, and Aquarius becomes conscious of the group of which they are a part, so they can offer growth to a more collective group. So in other words, knowing that you're a part of a group, you were born into an ideology, you accepted it, and what Aquarius tends to do is rebel or push against that ideology. And they're just, and so Liz was saying here, to be conscious of the group of which you came into so that you can offer growth and change to that group as you see the bigger picture of the consciousness all around you. So instead of just rebelling and pushing against, because that's what you had, that's what Aquarians love to do, sort of embrace it and then show everybody within that group how they can offer, be of change as well. And so, and Pisces, rather than saving everyone else in the world, is a very simple one, is see yourself how you fit into everywhere and offer yourself the love and encouragement and support before you go around saving everyone else. It's very simple. So I hope that didn't misguide or take you off on a tangent that I didn't, that you didn't appreciate. It's basically the point of it is to say that you are in charge. Things aren't happening to you. They're happening from you. Okay, the planets are changing. They're making aspects to your natal chart. You're definitely going through different things in your life, but in your awareness, how you respond to those things is your measure of growth. And if you're blaming, if you're in this state of mind where you're blaming the planets, blaming the world, blaming the politicians, blaming, you seriously aren't taking any responsibility for your own well-being. And that means that your happiness is sort of volatile. It's in the hands of everything else. Everything has to work in the right order for you to find your happiness. And that's not okay. Well, it is okay. It's just not a guaranteed way to be centered. It's like it sort of makes everything very random. Okay. So let's take a look at the room, see how you guys are doing. I have to start from scratch. I have to go to 12 radio, click the link. I'm here now. Hang on. I'm clicking comments. There's a few. Let me see how you guys are doing. I hope you're doing well. I'm hitting all comments. And if you're just joining us, this is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour coming to you live on July 29th. Okay, Tara, Monday, new day, new week, new me. Hey, also, that reminds me, you guys, I want to talk about the retrograde coming up. There is a retrograde, and I want to talk to you about it. Truly, welcome. Quelly, thank you for being here. I'm so curious about your greeting. You say grand rising to a lot of the hosts I watch, and I love that. And I'm curious your history, like, because it sounds like it's a very rich and it comes from a diverse, a very spiritual or deep place within you, and I'm just curious about it. If you ever get time and want to explain that, that'd be great. Maya, good morning. Erica's in the house hosting a gong bath on the 4th of August. Erica, you're hosting a gong bath. Those are supposed to be amazing. I know that they were offered here in Colorado forever, and one of the main people had passed away. Wowzer, what a day to let the Chiron gong loose. Looking forward to getting the details. Oh, gosh. Okay, yes, that's awesome. I'm curious. Yeah, you have to let us know about this gong bath thing that you're hosting. It sounds fascinating. I know there are people probably fly out to England to take a look at it. Tara, it'll be like old Tuesdays, but on Monday. That's right, with Kat coming. That's absolutely right. Good morning, Charlene. Enjoying a lovely morning filled with beautiful summer rain shower. I'm telling you, our weather has been nearly perfect. We're at the end of July. We haven't hit, I don't think I've seen a day over 90 yet. And rain in the evenings. I mean, of course, I've had to mow the lawn a little more than I want to, but oh my God, I'm pretty excited. Jackie's in the house. I love it. Thank you for being here. She said, let's get elated. Pamela, good morning, Mark. Happily awaiting whatever you have to share with us. I've sort of missed your morning greetings. I'm sorry I went on, didn't I? I just took off. Eva, happy Monday. I have an Eva friend. I have an Eva friend. So if I pronounce your names wrong, I'm sorry, but thank you for being here. I love your gift. I love that little son. It's not the day to start the diet. yeah, amen. Right, Taurus Moon, not the day to start your diet. Jennifer Lakshmi Dove's in the house. Thank you for being here. Jennifer's an amazing advisor over at One to Listen. Aries, Pisces moon, right, Jennifer? I mean, you're not going to get better wisdom than this, you guys. I'm serious. Laurie loves in the house. Laurie, same for me. I'm a Scorpio rising. It took me a bit to screw up my courage to get on the radio with all of you too, but I love it now. And yes, my Virgo moon can be a bit snooty at times, but it's not really intentional. Lori, I love the insight and thank you so much. Lori shows after Kat at, well, it'll be after Christina's last replay, I think will be right after me and then Lori Love live. And then we'll be kicking. We'll be cooking with gas after that. With Jamie Dawn and Serena Leon. Lynn Goldberg, so glad you got the show from Reed. That's how I found you, Mark, along with Denise Lynn and under. Oh, thank you, Lynn. I know you go back that far with us, don't you? That's Lynn, Scorpio, you know. And the thing about Scorpio, I use the word loyal, but it's more than that. It's so deep and connected and whole and reliable. And all my Scorpio friends have been some of the most cherished people in my life. So thank you, Lynn, for reminding me of that you came with Hay House. And I know, I'm so glad Reed tossed that show out to me too. It was so much fun. I wish it was different. I wish I was still there, but I ain't. Laura, good to have you here. Thank you for being here. Claudia, can you repeat the name of her book? Yes, I can. Relating. It's called Relating. Just look up Relating by Liz Green. It has a guide to getting along on a small planet, something like that. Oh my God, you will love it. You will love it. And if you need any other recommendations, I'm happy to give them. Claudia, I love that you're asking. I just love that. Pamela, I just feel there is so much for me to learn that I had better live to be at least 300 years, give or take a few. You know, Pamela, I feel the same way. It's like, damn it. And then to have time to learn it and time to enjoy it and time to dive in, it's amazing. Patricia, good morning, Mark, Jay, and 1-2 friends. Lane, thanks for helping this Scorpio laugh out loud many times this morning. Oh, thank God, Lane. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. That makes me feel good. I like when a Cancer can sort of strum those little lunar humor tunes. I love it. Erica said spot on. Oh, thank you. I love that. Thank you, Lynn. That's so sweet. You guys, you know, okay. So you do warm me up a little bit. Y'all crack me up too. And I'm so, I love when you get my humor. I appreciate that so much. This Sunday, we have a new moon. And let's talk about this new moon because it's important, but we also have some other big events on Sunday. So Sunday is a big event. Okay. And I'm going to talk to you about it Monday. Thank goodness, because we get to have the show the next day. So I'll be reminding you of all this, but I want you to be prepared. Because the moon is losing light and it's going to be new on Sunday in Leo. As it loses light, we can get a little more depressed. We can get a little more hopeless. We can get a little more, oh God, right? And as we hear the news, or if you're hearing news, I mean, it gets darker, right? So here's what we got to do. Projection makes perception. If you are getting darker because you're hearing something on the news or because you're feeling scared about something or you got a bill that you don't like, you have to do me a favor, please. And this works for me really well, but I need you to find what works for you. Picture a child, a puppy, a niece, a nephew, your own child, your inner child if you have to. And picture them coming to you with the same dread that you're feeling in that moment. And puppies come to me with dread. Duncan looks at me like he's almost too attached. It's so sweet. Like, you know, it's because he has this look like, are you leaving? Are you leaving? Are you leaving? And he's very attached to daddy. I mean, I can't help it. I thought he was going to bond more with Javi, but it was me. So it's like, I got that. I got it. But I think about like when I'm having a fear moment and I think about allowing the child to have that fear and agreeing with them. That's what we do when we take the fear and we run with it. We're sort of agreeing with this child. Child's easier because, you know, puppy, I just told. Though that works. When you have to have the counter argument of why these things are happening, like in other words, here's the thing. It's starting to get gloomy. You're starting to feel a little scared. You're worried about the political outcome. You're worried about your income. You're worried about money. You're worried about your partner. And that you picture a child saying that to you, the same things, pull them in close. Take a minute. I reminded you once I was mowing the lawn and I was happy and an hour into mowing this lawn, I'm suddenly having these dreadful thoughts. One about the neighbor that I think I offended. Instead of taking any of the thoughts seriously, I used it as an omen, an example of like, oh shit, you need to stop and take a break. Your body's like out of fuel. And it worked. It was amazing. I didn't take any of the thoughts seriously. I used them as an omen. Oh my God. Right? It's like, oh, it's like the radio station changed to dark. What happened? Like, stop. And I took a minute. I didn't give it any credence. That's what I want you to do this week. Because it's going to be new in Leo. And on the moment of the new moon, it pops, it opens, and we have, it's like lovely things emerge. But if this weekend starts getting a little like, oh, if you're starting to feel that a little bit, take a minute. Just remove your attention. See if what's creating it, what brought it on, and what you need to do to shift it long enough. Now, please do me a favor. Use the gratitude board this week. You just go to 12listen.com. Type in, even if you're not feeling grateful for anything, put something as if you would be grateful for it that you need to have happen, that it act like it already happened, and put that in there. It's all anonymous. We don't care. I mean, that fear should be long gone with you all right now. It doesn't take your name. It doesn't take your email address. We don't ask anything of you. Just, we wanted it to be a place where you put what you're grateful for in there, because doing that brings up that energy of gratitude that kind of sticks with you. And it sort of radiates all around. It's hard to make that go away when you're forced to take a minute. And those of you that don't want to go write something to be grateful for, think about why. Because sometimes we think if we take our finger off the pulse of what we're supposed to be afraid of, it'll get us. So I want to really encourage that. Mercury is stopping on Sunday and will go a retrograde journey. And it's going to go back. I'm going to talk to you about it next week. It's going to go back to a place we've already been. I adore these retrogrades. Now, this one is in, wait a minute, is this one in Virgo? Let me look real quick. Hold on. I know you're staying up with it. Yeah, this one starts, let's see. It is in Virgo, goes back into Leo a little bit of Virgo. So when Mercury's in its own sign, sometimes those can be a little more chaotic. But I love them. And I think I told my staff this at our last staff meeting Saturday, that I think I did it. I think I really healed the Mercury fear. I now literally am so excited when I see a Mercury retrograde, because I know, oh my God, first of all, everything gets to slow down a minute. B, if anything's wrong, I get a chance to fix it. C, the wisdom and the breakthroughs and the psychic development that occurs. I mean, it's so psychic for me that, like I told you that trick, when I think of somebody I don't want to think of, I drop a cancel sign on them and then I don't hear. So do that. Let's celebrate the retrograde next Sunday. Try it. I know so many of you, it's so built in to be afraid of these things. The most successful businesses in the world, over 50% of Fortune 500 businesses launched their business under a retrograde. Watch Apple, what it does under retrogrades. It's hysterical how many of their development conferences happened in a retrograde, on the retrograde itself, the day of. Like, I know they got an astrologer working for them. So let's change it. Now, let me ask you this. Does it hurt you to change it? Is it going to hurt anything to just say, okay, I'll look for good things to happen under this retrograde? Even if bad things happen, you're only looking for the good. Remember, let's pretend that. Let's try that this week. I'm going to talk to you about it next Monday, because we're going to turn it around. I did. And it's not just the affirmation, lie to yourself, turn it around. Even when a Mercury retrograde is tough, and they can be tough for me, I am what's the tough part? The tough part is like something broke. Let's fix it. Does anything break when it's not a Mercury retrograde? Hell yeah. Except the only difference is I don't get to blame Mercury for it. A lot of you are diehards and you just want to believe that it's shit and it feels good. I get it. I can join with you there. But I'll only join with you there by first saying this. I know they're really good. So I'm asking you to join me there. I'm going to hit refresh one more time. Next week is going to be exciting. We'll have just had the new moon. Kat will be with us. Peggy will be starting her show on Tuesdays. So I'm coming in, you guys. I'm looking real quick at the comments, see what we got. seeing what we got. Okay, I have to go to all comments, scroll down to the bottom, and then here we are where I left off. Kay said, come in late. What was the title of the interesting book? Oh, you guys being so interested in books. Okay, so relating, A Guide for Getting Along on a Small Planet, something like that. Liz Green is her name, G-R-E-E-N-E. Also, I reference a lot of Liz Green books, but some of my favorite things, Magi Astrology, The Key to Success in Love and Money. A lot of you know that's my secret Chiron magic book. So if you can find that book, do not pay $200 for that book. It was a Hay House book, but because, again, like everything else, astrology, he hated astrology, so he didn't renew it. And he was so shocked when I said, that book is amazing. He's like, are you kidding? And I went, the only book of astrology he loved was Sylvia Brown, my ex-husband's book on astrology. And I don't know. I don't want to diss him too hard, but really. I mean, really? Okay. And then Frederick Woodruff, if you Google him, he has a Substack. And if you sign up and they ask who referred you, you're welcome to tell him it's me. I think he won't give his birth information out, but I'm 99.9% positive we were born on the same day in the same year. I mean, and the only way I knew is because he was referencing everything in his life that happened to me. I mean, from his love of Joni Mitchell, and like he was mentioning The Hissing of Summer Lawns, and I knew that album. And I've told you this story a million times, I think, or at least twice. But I wrote him, and I finally said, I can't, the coincidences are, and he's a big Liz Green fan. The only difference is he has Leo rising, so he can be out there a lot more. And I said, okay, this is my birth date. I can't keep it anymore. And all he said was, that is extraordinary. And he didn't confirm or deny. So Frederick Woodruff on Substack, if you Google him and you join his newsletter, he's phenomenal. I mean, I think he's, of course, he's my twin. So watch, he'll be born like 30 years earlier and be a Capricorn or something. But no, I'm 90% sure. I'm 99% sure. So those are my two recommendations. What else can I recommend? I recommend that you accept my love of you so deeply and so grateful. Please go to 1-2-listen.com. Think about the advisors there. They're extraordinary. I mean it. Think about, please leave a gratitude. Leave 5 of them. Leave 10 of them. Put what you're grateful for up there. And what we get to do is we read them. They scroll on the front of 1-2-listen. They scroll and the advisors are asked to read them, to just look at them and empower them. And your name's not next to them, nothing. We're just empowering that thought that you're putting up there. It's so great. You're welcome to put your name. You can, but you don't, absolutely nothing is required except just be grateful, okay? All right, you guys. Oh, it's the end of the hour. I went a little over. This is Mark Husson. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Can I tell you how much I care about you? I love you. I thank you so much for being a part of my life and for all the support you offer me and my team. I'll be here same time next week. And then it's a week Tuesday out. We're going to start the new lineup. So we have some new blood, new energy to share with you. Okay. I'll be back after the new moon. You guys enjoy the new moon. Happy new moon. That's new beginnings. Make it special. Okay. All right. Thank you so much. See you next week.